Get energized and excited to tell the world, hey, you can call me Catholic. Live from the Christ Cathedral Campus in Garden Grove, California, EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and Orange County Catholic Radio present Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normanton.
Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. St. Paul wrote that to the Philippians, and he wrote it for us too. And you know what? That's what he wants us to do, and he wants us to talk about them too. That's what St. Paul, direct words from St. Paul. Think about these things and talk about them. Well, that's good, because that is exactly what we do on Call Me Catholic every week. I am Peggy Normanton, and you have arrived at Call Me Catholic, a light and lively hour of conversation that accentuates the positive and helps us explore and affirm and celebrate our Catholic identity in these modern times, so we can wake up and say to the world each and every day, oh yeah, you can call me Catholic. Jimmy G, my trusty engineer and chief fact checker, is right here across the desk from me. Hey, what happened last week? You weren't here.
Well, you weren't either.
That's right.
We went dark.
We went dark. We had a day off last Saturday because EWTN wanted to broadcast live from their family conference in Worcester, Massachusetts.
And that's right.
Heard it was a grand conference. So we weren't here, and we missed you terribly. We hope you guys missed us too.
I got to do some landscaping.
I got to sleep.
Isn't that exciting?
Landscaping is very therapeutic. Oh. And it's funny you should mention that. That's going to circle back around into our conversation today, Jimmy G.
Nice.
So thank you
nice.
For that cue. Yes, we are back, and we are coming to you once again from high atop the Tower of Hope on the beautiful Christ Cathedral campus in Orange County, California. We are a co-production of the Diocese of Orange with the great mothership of Catholic media, EWTN. We have very good parents, good breeding.
Indeed.
And by the way, if you'd like to see what we look like, if you'd like to see how this show works in real time, you may be disappointed, but I will direct you to our Facebook page, facebook.com/callmecatholic. Marvelous Matt, our call screener and studio assistant, is putting up a little link there right as we speak. And if you go to that Facebook page, you can click on the link, and it will redirect you to another page where you can watch the show live stream of the show.
Someday they'll probably have technology where they can take the actual feed and make it animated, like an animated feed.
Or maybe it will just feed you.
Yeah.
It will feed us. Hey, so, boy, Mother Nature has certainly been flexing her muscles over the last few months.
Mm.
She announced herself, of course, with that fantastic, glorious eclipse of the sun on August 21st.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, there have been hurricanes and wildfires and earthquakes and a few tornadoes thrown in there for good measure.
Mm.
My son, who lives up in Portland, Oregon, has been keeping us apprised of all the Oregon wildfires.
That's right.
You know, nationally, 8 million acres have burned in wildfires so far this year. 25% of that acreage has been in Oregon.
Wow.
And it's a very beautiful forested state, so fires are terrifying to watch.
Mm.
And, of course, they've had ash all over the place.
Exactly.
And then, of course, the hurricanes, old Harvey and Irma, they certainly exceeded their names in terms of power and heft. I've never known a Harvey or an Irma that had such a mean streak.
Mm. I saw a story about a couple, an elderly couple named Harvey and Irma.
No, and they were celebrating like their 60th anniversary. It's like, we don't want any association with these terrible wrecking balls called Harvey and Irma. Hey, so our hearts are with you, Texas and Florida and Oregon and all the other states who have been hammered by natural disasters this season. We stand with you in prayer and solidarity and are very inspired by your tenacity and your courage and your generosity, the way you've helped each other out. God bless you and keep you strong, my friends. Yes, there is great beauty and splendor in God's natural creation, but there is also great power, the power to completely alter a landscape, displace a population. It's a sobering reminder to respect and appreciate and defer to the environment and get out of the way, get out of town when you are told by authorities to evacuate. That is why on Call Me Catholic today, we're exploring the power and beauty of God's landscape. Nature has revealed her destructive power in recent weeks, but her beauty still commands awe from us. Our guest today makes a living exploring the connection between humans and nature. In fact, in 2015, Catherine Cunningham introduced her own lifestyle brand, it's kind of a media company called Natural Intelligence, to promote the healthy benefits of humans living compatibly with nature.
Hmm.
She's producing a series of short films with Natural Intelligence Media for clients all around the world. Catherine is a nature photographer, too, and her gallery of stunning photography called Nature's Reflection offers photo art imagery of God's creation intended to hang in your home or in your workplace and heal you through nature and uplift you through nature. Catherine has photographed in 67 countries. She's got a lot of stories to share, and they are told through her uniquely Catholic lens. So our guest, Catherine Cunningham, will be up in a minute. And then in Chatting with Catholics, we'll pop on over to a parish school here in the Diocese of Orange and ask the kids if they could paint a picture of heaven, what would that landscape look like? Mm. I'm sure we're going to include lots of nature in their pictures. But first up, it's the Call Me Catholic Countdown, which this week, since we're talking about the power and majesty of nature, will be the five most beautiful landscapes I have ever visited, personally. I know there's a lot more out there than I've had the opportunity to visit, but this is my own top five natural wonders in the world. I haven't traveled as much as our guest, Catherine Cunningham, but I've been a few places. And nature really does have an enduring way of lifting your thoughts to God in praise and thanksgiving for his creative genius. So here we go. The Call Me Catholic Countdown of the week.
The Call Me Catholic Countdown.
Thank you, Jimmy Keith, for that. Okay. These are my top five favorite landscapes that I have visited that just stay with me. Now, interesting, in kind of authoring this, coming up with my top five list, and I went back in my memory of all the places I visited, you know what impacts how a landscape impacts you is the company you're keeping sometimes.
That's right.
You know, sometimes you remember who you were standing there with as you observed God's creation. Okay, so my number five is going to be a place in Ireland called the Cliffs of Moher, located on the southwestern edge of the Emerald Isle. These cliffs tower like up to 900 feet above the Atlantic Ocean, and from them you can look out and see Galway Bay, the Aran Islands. But they are terrifying, too, and the wind just whips around up there. And, you know, when you go to other places in the world, they don't have all the security measures in place that we do here in the United States. So there was no barrier. Now, we were in Ireland at that time with a big family reunion for all my sisters and their families, my mom and dad. And our kids and my husband and I went over to the Cliffs of Moher, and I remember my kids standing on the edge and just pretending to fall back, but the wind was so strong you couldn't, right?
Oh, my goodness.
Wasn't that cute of them?
Wow.
But it was dramatic and powerful and beautiful and breathtaking. So that's my number five. Number four would be Napali Coast on the island of Kauai. You know, Kauai is the oldest of the Hawaiian islands. And you have seen this landscape, my friends. You've seen it in the opening of Jurassic Park, in some scenes from Pirates of the Caribbean or the TV show Lost. It is the most untouched, primitive, kind of frightening landscape. You cannot even get there by car. You have to get there by boat, or you can walk into it, take a kayak or something. I think we took one of those pontoons that motored us out there. But it is awesome in the true sense of the word awe. It just takes your breath away. It looks so uninhabited.
Hmm.
I think that's why it's a favorite with moviegoers. And here, once again, it was my first experience snorkeling with my boys and my sons. I mean, with my sons and my husband, and we were there with some friends. So it was very, it's very etched in my mind vividly.
Hmm.
Beautiful. Okay, number three would be my own backyard, not specifically my house backyard, but we live in Orange County, very close to an area called the Back Bay, and it's been preserved, and I always pass it on my way back home, especially when we've been out of town. We go or land in the Orange County Airport, and then we drive down Irvine Avenue to get to our house, and we always pass right through the Back Bay, and I look out there, and I'm so grateful. It's like I'm home. It's this beautiful, preserved part of the Back Bay off the Pacific Ocean, and, you know, it's a personal landscape for me. It has a lot of memories. I walk there. I bike there. My kids grew up there. So that's a really beautiful, I don't see it from my home. I don't have that kind of a home, but I see it on my way home and I love it. Okay. Number two would be the Grand Tetons in Wyoming. Now, every summer we would drive to Wyoming. Our parents had a little cabin in a place called Du Bois, which is outside of Jackson Hole. And we drive. So the first day we drive kind of all the way out through California, Arizona, and go through Utah on the second day, and then come into Wyoming. And we just kind of see all the landmarks as we're driving. And as we get in through the Star Valley, we'd all just like hold our breath, waiting till we came around that bend as we get into the outskirts of Jackson Hole and behold the majestic Grand Tetons.
Mm.
And they were always snow capped, and they would just be that thrilling moment. And we'd always have a contest who could see. I see, I see, I see, I said it first. But it was a memory, and it's a landscape that will always hold a very special place in my heart. Hmm. Grand Tetons in Wyoming. Okay, number one would have to be for me the Grand Canyon. I think I shared with our listeners, we hiked the Grand Canyon just almost a year ago with our dear, dear friends, Nancy and Fred. Jim and I hiked down to the base, spent the night in the campgrounds down there, and then hiked back up the next day.
You didn't take the elevator back up?
We didn't. And we didn't take the mules. I can tell you one thing. You will never catch me dead on them. That's the only way you'll catch me on a mule going down the Grand Canyon is dead if they're bringing my body back up. But it was so spectacular. It did not disappoint. It's obviously one of those landscapes that's written about. I think it is one of the natural wonders of the world. But when you behold it and how it changes with the light and with every different view, every corner you turn, you see a different view of it. And to think that was all carved out naturally through God's creative genius.
Exactly.
It's just stunning. Okay. And I can say without any hesitation that with every one of these natural landscape encounters, I felt the hand of God. I was awed by the epic creative power of our Creator. Yes, the natural landscape can lead us to a greater relationship with our Lord. It's an awesome encounter. Hey, what do you think about that? Do you have something you'd like to share? You can do it on our Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/callmecatholic. Give us a like. Join our family. We got lots of pictures. We'll have pictures of our show today on there. We've got pictures of previous guests and lots of different podcasts and links and all kinds of things.
Like us.
Like us. Yeah. Jimmy G likes to encourage you to join our like family. Okay. Our guest coming up has a lot to say about how nature impacts our relationship with God. That is her business as the photographer behind Nature's Reflection Photography Gallery, a collection of nature images she shot in 67 countries to help humans better appreciate the healthy benefits of respecting nature and including it in our lives and in our homes and workplaces. Stay tuned to meet the very gifted and proactive nature advocate, Catherine Cunningham. I am Peggy Normandin, and you are listening to Call Me Catholic on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Celebrating, exploring, and restoring our Catholic identity. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Well, hey, how are you today? We here at Call Me Catholic are feeling calm, but energized, connected, and centered because we're exploring the impact that God's beautiful natural landscape has in our human lives. I am your host, Peggy Normandin, and today on Call Me Catholic, we are talking about nature. Now, in recent weeks, we have all witnessed the fact that nature can wield some pretty destructive power through hurricanes and wildfires and earthquakes, but her beauty still commands awe, and our guest today recognizes that and, in fact, invests her whole life and profession into that belief. Catherine Cunningham is an ecologist, writer, filmmaker, photographer, culture designer, anthropologist, and world citizen, having traveled to 67 countries in her young life. Her award-winning work with the environmental consulting firm Icosphere has produced short films on social, environmental issues for world leaders in business and government. 2 years ago, she launched a new lifestyle brand called Natural Intelligence, which promotes the human and nature relationship. But it's her photography that really lights up her life. She calls her stunning photo collection Nature's Reflection, and it features hundreds of dramatic photographs crafted by God's own hand. It's her intention that these photographs will encourage peace and healing by hanging in homes and workplaces all around the world. Catherine Cunningham, welcome to Call Me Catholic.
Wow, thank you so much for this intro. I love being here, and I love this Call Me Catholic. Yes, Call Me Catholic.
Well, thank you. Yes. We're so grateful that you are here. I wish we had a photograph, some natural imagery in here, Jimmy G.
Well, we can solve that problem.
I thought of a great way we could twist the title. We could make it Calm
Catholic, yeah. Right. Well, like visualizing world peace, right?
World
this one?
Peace, yeah.
Yeah. Well, what I want to share is that I think that, you know, it's just so symbolic and beautiful that we're sitting here in the Tower of Hope at Grace Cathedral and at the Crystal Cathedral. And
no, Christ Cathedral.
Christ
You're
Cathedral.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Formerly Crystal Cathedral.
Okay, there we go. And that we are actually in a cathedral building mode. I mean, as Catholics and Catholic, again, as we all know, being universal or symbolizing, the fact that our faith is open to everyone. You know, Call Me Catholic is all about celebrating who we are, our talents and gifts, and in a sense, inspiring others with our stories and our our lives and our lifestyles and our experiences, which is exactly what you just did with me and your stories, you know, and journeys around the world. There's so many different points of resonance with what you shared in the different places that you traveled.
I bet you've been to every single one of those places I mentioned.
I have, actually. And I have my own experiences there, and that's the beautiful thing. I had a professor at the University of Notre Dame, which is my beloved university.
Where you received your degree in peace studies, ecology, right?
Yeah, and cultural anthropology. And I actually, that is really where my journey to create this human plus nature connection really began. And I think important to share there is that, to your point on traveling to these beautiful locations, you know, many times it's not just about the place itself, but it's who you're there with. And I think so many times when we think about our relationship to the natural world, it's just about myself and my environment. But actually, in Laudato Si, and in the entire sort of encyclical around, you know, our Catholic relationship to the natural world, it's about our relationship also to one another. And so there's something to be said about the importance of linking not only our lives and our lifestyles to the environments in which we live, but really celebrating these beautiful places as stewards of these natural landscapes in communion with others. And I had this wonderful professor at Notre Dame. A few seminal things I learned there and really struck me in this epiphany I had was that he said, you know, we come into conversation in order that we can speak to one another, share our stories, and then convert one another in the sense that, you know, convert us to a higher purpose, way of being, way of lifestyle.
And I think
understanding.
Conversation is all about understanding.
Yes, it is. And it's all about forming connection. And I think, you know, that's the value of these images that I've taken to me is that, you know, when I go to these beautiful locations, it's not so much about taking a picture or a snapshot, but actually I immerse myself in these places and I ask for grace, and it is a prayerful journey.
Well, I think that the landscape is really God's expression. It's a form of communication from God. It's part of his language to
us. You go. Nature's reflection. So part of the mission of my work with Nature's Reflection Photography is that nature has the ability to reflect back these properties, characteristics of the greatest parts of ourselves. So, you know, imagine a beautiful waterfall remind us about our integral value and actually this beautiful world that God created, you know, in his glory for us to appreciate, respect, and also well manage. And actually that's what ecosphere in a way stands for. Ecosphere, oikos is the Greek word for home or place of being, and it's also the root word of economy and ecology, ecology being the study of our home planet and our earth, and linked to, of course, Mother Nature and Mary, and economy, the best management of it. So ecosphere is all about creating this new perspective, or like you said, lens on life, where we are, in essence, respecting our planet and finding ways to live that celebrates
sort of integrated way with nature. We are speaking with Catherine Cunningham. She's a world famous ecologist and photographer, great photographer of nature, and she encourages this relationship between humans and nature through her work. If you would like to jump into the conversation, give us a call. The number is 714-282-6034. That's 714-282-6034. I know our guest, Catherine Cunningham, would love to talk with you about that. Now, Catherine, you have quite a resume, and you have done many things with your work and your photography and your films. What is your proudest achievement to date? Because you've traveled to all these countries. You've actually helped countries bring light to some of their environmental issues, and you've worked with the United Nations. What could you zero in on right now and say, this is what I really carry in my heart as my proudest achievement to date?
Wow, that's a difficult question. It's almost like asking someone who your favorite child is. You know, each of these projects has its own, that I work on, has its own purpose and
meaning.
Well,
what's one of the more interesting ones that you've worked on?
One
of your most interesting projects or challenging projects?
Yeah, I would think, oh, they all do. But I would think Eye of the Future is a great one I always go back to, because it was really a celebration of the creative collaboration among a number of institutions and organizations and people. And it was truly a global journey. So we had about 52 global partners, everyone from the Clinton Global Initiative to a number of development banks. We had a few heads of state involved. We had the Club of Madrid. We had a number of companies
and
foundations and companies like Cisco and so forth. And so we had an interface of companies and global organizations, civil society, all framed around creating or crafting a cultural narrative about the eye of the future. So what do we want our future to look like? How can we realize the world we want in our future through visualization, through a narrative? And so literally we filmed in probably 13 countries, maybe it was even 23, just passing through. But we worked with organizations around the world to showcase their greatest innovations and technologies in transportation and smart cities, et cetera. And then I framed these sort of vignettes around a cultural narrative of five children who play-acted children of world leaders to the UN. Oh. And they, in this global gardens at the UN headquarters in New York, they're playing with this earth ball, and this earth ball guides them into this magic portal space. We worked with Disney Imagineers on this and created this limbo set where the earth challenged these children, our future, to solve the global climate change challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah, global challenge. And in order for them to do that, they had to share their stories, or they realized that by sharing their stories and their travels with their parents, that they could then envision how they could take one project like Cook Stoves, you know, in South Africa, you know, to southern India, expand these best practices narratives, share their stories, share their technologies.
And who, and in the end, who is the audience watching this?
Oh, this was amazing. So with the audience, the premiere was at the Copenhagen Climate Change Summit, IMAX Theater, days before, you know, the global negotiations around that narrative or that theme. And for the entire year thereafter, I had, you know, the Foreign Ministry of Korea inviting me to Korea for two weeks and showcasing around Korea, Sustainability Summit in Brazil. For the business community in Latin America, inviting me, Cisco with China.
So it was
China,
it was a success.
World Expo. It was huge.
And how long and was just, the film in the end?
Well, it is an hour. It's a documentary drama. It's still on Amazon.
Oh, okay. And what's it called?
It's called Eye of the Future.
Eye of the Future. Okay.
Yeah. It was a beautiful, long story short, it was a beautiful example of how when you work together to craft a narrative, there's a sort of sense of common ownership. And at the same time, you're able to like envision past the problems where we are now to where we want to go. And then you go together as a community.
Well, what do you think is the biggest threat to the environment right now? If you were to look at the big universal picture before our break, quickly before our break, what do you think is the biggest concern you have learned through your work?
Ignorance.
Ignorance. Okay.
Yeah. I would say, you know.
Well, that goes right to the heart of the matter.
Well, it does. Yeah, nature is, and when we are not aware and connected to the environment in which we live, we are not able to create resilience when, you know, anticipated natural disturbances occur.
Ignorance, and I would say sometimes there's also a certain amount of indifference. You know, if we don't appreciate what
ignorance
we have, then we don't take the time to learn about it. And
well,
it's easier
brilliant.
To just be, you know, to not take the time.
No, brilliant. And that's what, you know, Pope Francis said in his encyclical, that we have created a pile of filth, you know, quoting him, you know, the world has become a pile of filth. How is this even possible if God has given us this beautiful environment to respect, to resource from? You know, it is our moral responsibility to be good stewards.
Well, that was his first encyclical, and that certainly is his message. You know, we've got a caller, Lauren from Portland, who has something interesting to share with us, and we're going to get to her right after the break. And we have lots more great dialogue with Catherine Cunningham, our guest today. Catherine, as we've been learning, is an environmentalist filmmaker who has worked with world leaders in business and government on social and environmental issues. She's also an avid nature photographer. And I really, when we come back, I also want to get into some of your photography, which is so compelling, and how you learn to take these really, these really vivid pictures that tell you so much. And I also want to explore the benefits of this photography, how humans can benefit from dwelling and thinking about photography.
Great, thank you.
That showcases nature. And if you have a comment or a question like Lauren does, and we're going to get to Lauren in a minute, give us a call. The number is 714-282-6034. That's 714-282-6034. Maybe you have a question about some of the places she's traveled, some of the work she's done, some of her photographs, some of the impressions that all these different environments have made on her. And I'm sure she would love to talk to you. Marvelous Matt, our call screener, will pop you right into our conversation. So, Catherine, when we come back, I want to ask you what the scariest moment that you've had in taking some of these photographs, because you're up close and you're on the edge and you're confronting sort of new scenes. So I'm going to have you dwell on that. I am Peggy Normandin, and you are listening to Call Me Catholic on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Thanks for staying with us. We'll be right back.
Helping you navigate the daily struggles and blessings of life. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Well, mellow greetings to you all. I am Peggy Normandin, and today on Call Me Catholic, we are exploring the art of nature, God's exquisite gift to our world. Catherine Cunningham is our guest. She's a doctor of ecology and lots of other environmental studies, and she's used her talents to help world leaders in business and government bring some of their specific environmental concerns to light. She's also an avid and gifted nature photographer, photographed in 67 different countries. Her gallery of photographs is called Nature's Reflection. And before we get back to our conversation, Catherine, I'd like to introduce a caller that we have, Lauren from Portland, who works with children, talks about the benefits of introducing and incorporating nature into a children's curriculum. Welcome to Call Me Catholic, Lauren.
Hello, how are you?
Good. How are you? Thanks for calling in today.
Good, thank you.
In the notes here, it says that you work very hard to build nature into children's curriculum. Yeah. Are you educating them about the ecology, or do you think it has just benefits in terms of how it influences their behavior?
Well, a little bit of both. Oh. I work in outdoor and sustainability and garden education. So it's everything from what do we eat and grow ourselves? How does that impact our personal bodies, our personal environment? And then further out, how does what we're growing or what we're observing or what we're a part of influence ourselves and then our larger community? So depending on the grade that I'm working with, we move from, you know, the micro out to the macro.
Beautiful.
And do you find that the kids respond well to this? Do they get bored easily or less easily when you have them out in a garden environment?
It's the opposite of bored. It's more of it's how can we work to focus on, you know, one aspect, which is always the challenge when you're in a natural environment anyway, because there's a million things happening at the same time. Mm-hmm. So it's really exciting to see all of these young children just become so inspired by the things around them and then take it to heart, because they're such young minds and they're, you know, influenced by their environment. So if we can use that for the power of good, then maybe we can send it out more as well.
Yeah. Lauren, you know, the most beautiful thing about what you're doing is you're shaping their motivational patterns. You're shaping what they will care about with every decision that they make. So all throughout their lives, it is the most important work I feel that anyone can do. Just, you know, kudos to you. And I love that you have this sense of it shapes the whole person. This was very much the vision behind natural intelligence for me, is that, you know, there's something to be celebrated about our own intuitive nature. So natural intelligence, it is naturally intelligent that we, you know, learn to listen to ourselves and, you know, sort of the inspired or Holy Spirit life, you know, within ourselves. So our inspired selves, our intuitive selves. It's so important that we tap into our native selves. So, you know, what our cultural traditions teach us. You know, we all have a body where we're all coming from different cultures and traditions. And my gosh, if we could share those parables, those stories, the Catholic faith is rich with these narratives about how to live and be in the world in an optimal way to sustain the greatest life. Mm-hmm. We are so intimately tied to this natural world that we have to find ways to, on this spaceship Earth, act as, you know, our space colleagues do in, you know, community as global citizens, because truly, you know, that the butterfly wings or so that flop in, or that, you know, fly in one part of the world do have a ripple effect around the world. Long story short, I think that what you're doing is beautiful, that you're celebrating, you know, this little people as their own special, unique selves. It's the other thing. We only show up in the world once. This is our chance to, you know, for me, Catherine Cunningham, share my talents with the world, or to be the person God wanted me to show up to be. There will never be another Catherine Cunningham. That's so important to share with these kids.
And we celebrate that. Hey, Lauren, do you find that putting the children in the garden setting, do they reach for their cell phones or for their technology as much? Mm. Are you competing with that? Because this is what I think is the greatest asset of what you're doing, is you're putting children back into an organic setting when you're competing with this internet, the invisible sphere of influence that's in their
the
lives.
The virtual world, yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I find that they're not, I mean, they're not reaching for them. One, because I really emphasize, you know, technology when we're outside in the garden. Unless it's something that we're specifically working on with one of our classes, we're about to start putting in a 360 camera so that we can film the seasons in the same spot as they're coming and going, which will be cool to show to other people, you know, much like Catherine, your pictures have such an effect when, you know, other people can't maybe go to those places or see those things. It's neat to be able to share that kind of technology.
Yeah. Right.
But
that's beautiful.
For the most part, you know, we're out there and we're so busy with our hands in the dirt, or finding the tiniest fly or spider, or the spider eating the fly.
Yeah,
so
right.
We don't have time.
And
really
it satisfies a very natural, healthy, wholesome curiosity, which is the internet does not.
Well, but
yes.
Actually, I have to say, you know, there are so many different tools and ways which we can use these smart computers that we all walk around with, and the kids are going to have them. This is just a part of our world advancing forward, that, you know, you can use there are a number of different nature exploration apps. There's a camera on your phone. Imagine you can, you know, share your new insect that you just discovered, or you've just learned how to craft, you know, a garden, or to grow a garden in a certain way, or something about compost. I mean, this is an amazingly powerful tool to be able to expand those narratives. So I wouldn't.
Well, give that to another teacher. You're out there in the dirt. Don't let him.
Yeah.
I like
well,
your
no,
style
it's
to learn.
Of course, it's important. It's important to, you know, to have them create that visceral connection.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Well, Lauren, thank you for sharing. I'm so glad you called into the show today. It certainly
thank
is on topic
too.
With us.
Thank you. And thank you so much, Catherine. I'm loving what you're doing.
Oh, thank you so
thanks,
much.
Thanks, Lauren. And keep up the good work with those kids in Portland.
Thanks. Have a great morning.
Okay. God bless. What a perfect call.
Yeah,
it kind of complements
great.
Exactly mm-hmm. what we're talking about today. Let's get into your photography a little bit, because that is such an aspect of your work that everybody out there can enjoy.
Yes.
Tell us what you are drawn to with your camera lens, Catherine.
What am I drawn to? Well, the first thing is I don't know what I'm drawn to. This is the idea, is when I
until
get
you're
to,
there.
when I get to a place, it's really important to, you know, look around, look at the light, the design, the, you know, the different elements in the landscape. I really do feel, you know, as Lauren does in her teaching, there are these miracle moments or teachable moments. And so, you know, they come, and it's almost as if when you walk in conversation with the place that you're in, you're on that journey, then the images come. I mean, there've been some times.
Give us an example of one of your most powerful encounters with nature.
I know what you're going to. So, well, I mean, just most recent one, and actually this goes to the surprise I wanted to share with the viewers, is that I just recently created a new gallery on my Nature's Reflection Photography website, naturesreflectionphotography.com.
Okay. And we'll put that on our Facebook page.
Great. Any case, in the Val d'Aosta, and I was hiking
that's
along.
In Italy?
It's in Italy, right? The Val d'Aosta. It's the end of the valley where I was. It faces the south side of the Mont Blanc Massif. It's just amazing, glorious place. And I was walking along one of the ridge lines by myself. It was quite windy, which is fabulous, because then you know that there's either a storm coming, so you get the dramatic clouds, or leaving, and it brings the bright, clear skies. In any case, I was walking along this ridge. Just, you don't know what you're going to find. You're on an adventure. And as Helen Keller said, you know, life is a daring adventure or it's nothing. And for me, it's a daring adventure. So on this ridge, and I'm going away from safety in the sense I'm going out into a valley that I have to actually create a circle and wrap back around. So I'm making a commitment to this ridge line. Mm-hmm. and I'm not sure what the, you know, the what the weather holds. But I turn around and I look over at the Mont Blanc Massif, and I'm like, really? I couldn't believe it. These clouds were just dancing around this peak and moving in these amazing shapes, which you can see on the website. And it was just as if the mountain was smiling and wanted its picture taken. Or, you know, there are times when I, you know, see the chamois up on the mountainside, and they actually, you know, inch a bit closer. If you create that right sort of St. Francis resonance, mm-hmm. then you can read and you really stay in a place and you almost become part of the place. You have to really spend time to create those amazing images, because you have to develop a relationship to the land to understand the lighting, the seasons, mm-hmm. the growth cycles, the animals and the nature.
Moving, all the clouds moving, or did, was yeah. one still photograph?
No, you don't just take one. You take hundreds of thousands of images. And this is, well,
the beauty
is
of digital photography, too.
Yes, that's true. I mean, of course, you don't want to, you just sit there with your camera. But the camera has been, and this is something I wanted to get to with my photography, the camera has been my window into understanding and learning about the natural world, obviously also with my ecological background. I've taught ecology, but at the same time, it's also the same tool I've used to introduce myself to different cultures and people. And that's such a beautiful thing, that when you celebrate someone and you affirm their being, when you celebrate the natural world and you affirm its being, you develop a compassion, mm-hmm. you know, for this place or these people. And, you know, that only builds the love. That only creates the connection. That only makes you, you know, feel a sense of stewardship responsibility to protect the things you love. And so I feel that this is
so much
important. So what
happened? And you said you had a surprise for us about these photographs?
Well, that you, if you go online, you'll see. I mean, this is, I created a gallery, finished it early this morning, for this particular expedition that I went on,
excavation, it sounds like.
Yes. Well, it is something about
scenery, diving into the scenery.
So what I can say, and of course, you know, I remember the experiences I had. I remember the connection I felt. And this, the same, you know, Ansel Adams speaks about his photography the same way.
He brought the American West to the world. Yeah.
That's right. And my great aunt actually was a founding member of the Sierra Club as well, and knew all these characters, John Muir and yeah. Teddy Roosevelt. And I feel I've got her spirit within me as a naturalist. But what I want to say is that this particular approach, I think, where it's more receptive and you're listening, it's a very important tool in conversation with the place that you're being and the people you're with, because it helps then build that sense of connection. And that's really what I feel is missing and important.
Well, you know what's interesting in a different landscape, a completely different landscape, but that's yes. happening, is what NASA is doing by bringing us pictures of outer space. I mean, we're seeing
yeah.
Jupiter and Mars Saturn.
It's
introducing us, that photography, that
yes.
the Voyager and
yes.
some of the other robotic image yep. captures up there
yep.
Is just connecting us to this universe outside of our own universe.
Right. Well, what is beautiful about that is that we can also look back at the Earth, reflect back to the Earth, and see that it is one body. This is our home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's our home, all of our home, Catholic, universal, right. It's everyone's home. And that's a really important thing. And so with nature's reflection photography, the vision behind this brand, this mission I'm on is really to celebrate that nature can reflect back, you know, the beauty and majesty
right.
of God, but at the same time, the best of humanity. Mm-hmm. And so again, the photographs, the way that I shoot them is they come, I also write poems about them and affirmations. So I look at them as like your stones outside, those beautiful quotes mm-hmm. that wrap around the streams here. It's important for us to remember how important we are as individuals, how we're tied to a global community, how we're tied to the natural world. And I feel the photographs do that. Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I have animals, landscapes, abstracts, cultural interactions.
How close have you gotten to some of these animals?
How close? Close enough.
Close enough.
Yeah. Safari, Africa,
wow.
Kruger Park. You can actually take your own car, which maybe they don't do that anymore because it's quite dangerous. Of course, when I realized this, I thought, wow, this is great. So, you know, jump in my car, and I ended up taking images on top of the roof because you can get the best, you know, images with your large lens as close up as you can get. And I remember taking one of a giraffe and turning around, and there's an elephant standing there watching me, like literally feet away. I can tell you all kinds of stories about this.
You know, recently I saw a photograph of
Mom's watching.
Yes, that's right. Moms don't want to hear all the stories. Keep some to yourself. Her prayers can only go so fervently, you know, to cover you.
Oh, they help.
But
they
like a family of white giraffes. In Kenya, or there was a picture.
Oh, yes.
So this nature photography, these people that go out like you do and brave these sort of landscapes, somewhat dangerous environments to bring us photographs of places and people and things that we couldn't otherwise see. I love it.
Absolutely. Well, and the point is to also, again, affirm the fact that we as humans are part of this natural landscape and, again, have a stewardship, a responsibility to it. And it's true that many people can't or have not the opportunity to go to these places. And so for me, it's important that they're not just beautiful pictures, but they, again, are affirmations that celebrate the best of ourselves. So like these beautiful waterfalls in Iguazu that, you know, have a sense of purification and cleansing, or the mountain spires in Patagonia.
And think of the benefits that brings to hospital rooms and waiting rooms and even your home. I've heard that people, they've done scientific studies that when people are recovering and they're in pain, the image of nature it actually helps them tolerate the pain much more.
Well, it helps them create our nature's compass. There are something like 2,000 different hormones that are connected to our sense of natural lighting. So to the extent that we're able to create environments that allow, for the healing process to occur, this is what I want the photography to be useful as. So exactly, the clients reach out to are the hospitals.
So let's remind our listeners to go to naturesreflectionphotography.com.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
naturesreflectionphotography.com.
Sure.
And you will see some of this very talented woman's work and enjoy it and participate in it and let it heal and soothe you and uplift you, because God is great and you see it through her work. Catherine Cunningham, you're a very educated woman and you have invested years in your environmental studies, and we are so grateful that you joined and shared with us all of your work and your insight. And we wish you God's blessings on all your future endeavors and your future work, and come back and see us again soon.
I would love that.
And let us know where you've been in the world. Where in the world you've been, Catherine Cunningham? But I think our listeners go to your website, they'll see some beautiful imagery, especially the gallery that you just put up.
Well, I'd be happy to come back. That's far too short. Those minutes go by fast.
I know it. Believe me, this is our business.
Hey, right now
I want to remind our listeners about churchpop.com. It's a great EWTN news resource that can come into your inbox every day with a little morsel about the Catholic Church, its history, a little news story, maybe some humorous cartoons. It's a wonderful, wonderful site to share with your kids, share with your friends. It's called churchpop.com. Every day you'll get a beautiful little digestible bit of nourishment about our good, rich, deep faith. And now we're going to be nourished in a different way. I took my microphone in Chatting with Catholics to a local parish here in the Diocese of Orange, and I asked the kids if they were to paint a picture of heaven, which is the landscape we all are hoping to encounter one day. We don't know what it's going to look like, but I asked these kids, and here's what they had to say.
Call me Catholic. We're chatting with Catholics.
So if you could paint a picture of heaven, what would it look like?
It will have Jesus in it and the world.
And the whole world would be up there. Wow, that's a beautiful heaven. I hope to see you there someday. Not too soon, though, right?
There'd be like clouds and Jesus, God, the angels.
What color would you use to paint most of that if you could pick one color that you could use a lot of?
Probably blue and white.
Blue and white.
If I were to draw heaven, it'd be mostly white and yellow clouds and light. My family, God, Jesus, Saint Joseph.
What do you think Saint Joseph looks like up in heaven?
I think he'd be smiling, happy, looking down at everyone to see if they're doing good.
How do you think he'd assess your behavior right now?
I don't know.
I think he'd say you were doing A+.
Okay.
I would have Jesus, God, and my whole family in it.
Yeah.
Holding hands in a row.
My picture of heaven would have light, angels and doves flying around, God, Joseph, Mary, my family, my ancestors.
What would Mary look like to you in your picture? How would you draw or paint Mary, the Mother of God?
Like the Lady of Guadalupe.
I would have my aunt who died and my rest of the family, and I would have unicorns.
You'd have unicorns?
I really like how they are, how they're kind to other unicorns.
Well, that is an original. Unicorns in heaven.
Mine would be like a yellow, like, picture, like, light in the back. Jesus, like, in the light, and all the saints, like, all surrounding me. And they would be waiting to hug me and greet me and smiling at me.
Nice. Any saints in particular that you would look forward to seeing?
St. Paul. Hail Mary.
And maybe St. Joseph, too, because that's your school name.
My picture of heaven is the earth down low and Jesus and the Virgin Mary, like, stretching their arms and looking what everyone is doing, and angels, like, on their sides.
Beautiful. That sounds like something I'd see behind an altar.
My painting of heaven would be a sunset and a hill. And Jesus will be sitting on the hill with my family.
So would it be green, like the hills right now in California are so green from all the rain?
Yes.
Yeah, and maybe some wildflowers?
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to paint your picture for you, but...
I imagine heaven, a bunch of clouds with rainbows, and then I imagine Mary, Joseph, and Jesus there. They'll be standing, like, waiting for me if I go to heaven with them. So, like, if I'm painting, I would imagine them waiting for me.
What a beautiful expression. You know, they are waiting for you.
Yeah.
Are you working on getting there?
No.
Got a little work to do, do you? You have a lot of time to do it, though.
Yeah.
My painting would have God with a lot of clouds, with angels, and Jesus, and Joseph, anyone that I really love around me.
Yeah.
Smiling.
So many clouds. Everybody's talking about clouds. Why does heaven have so many clouds?
Because they're in the sky.
Yeah. So when you look up in the sky and you see all the clouds, do you imagine Jesus and God the Father and the Holy Spirit up there?
Yes.
Kind of hard to paint it, though, isn't it?
Yes.
My picture of heaven will have an open gate with a waterfall with lots of rainbows and with my uncle there.
Is he there now? Good. So you can paint him in there. You know he's in the crowd.
So my picture of heaven would be like God and Mary, angels, and a lot of double rainbows and flower petals falling from the sky.
My picture would be like God standing in front of the sun, and he has his arms stretched out.
I'll see my family there, and they'll be smiling at me, but you could tell they won't be smiling with their lips. You could tell they're happy with their eyes and...
Very insightful. You must be an artist.
A little bit.
Yeah, eyes are the windows of the soul, you know.
They are?
Yeah, and you have beautiful eyes.
Thank you.
So I would imagine an open gate and the gate's gold. And then I would imagine the sun is shining down on it. And then it opens by itself, and then I imagine people going, ah!
Okay. Is St. Peter anywhere in there? Because, you know, he's supposed to be guarding the gate.
Yeah, he's in there. He's guarding it.
He's got his big ring of keys, like the janitor, right? Yeah, okay.
I would imagine my archangel waiting for me at a golden gate. And
what do angels look like in your picture?
With wings, and since it's my... Archangel, he will have golden armor.
Was that St. Michael, the archangel?
Yes.
Wow, that's a powerful patron to have and welcome you into heaven. You must be a very holy young man.
Yes.
Well, Mrs. Madrona, you're the teacher of these lovely, spirit-filled fourth graders. What would your picture of heaven look like?
My picture would probably be painted with a lot of little lights, like maybe like stars, twinkling lights.
Sparkles.
Exactly.
Nice. So, Mr. Snyder, I've just interviewed your fourth graders on what heaven would look like in a picture that they could draw if they were an artist. So what would your picture of heaven look like?
You know, my picture of heaven would look like it would have all the colors of the people in the world.
And that is why Mr. Brad Snyder is principal of St. Joseph's Catholic Elementary School. Thank you, Mr. Snyder.
Hey, love those kids. So precious. Jim, I didn't get a chance to ask you at the beginning, what is your very favorite landscape that you've ever visited?
I got to stand on the Great Wall of China.
No
yeah.
kidding. Well, that's not exactly
and
a
that
natural
was amazing.
Landscape, though.
Well, it's about the amazing landscape around that.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I'd like to hear
two
more
times,
about that.
Two
That's times. A story for another show.
Yeah.
Guess I'll have to interview you.
You're feigning surprise. Didn't I tell you this before?
No, you absolutely did not. Hey, if you would like to know more about our show, if you'd like to join our family, go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/callmecatholic. Give us a like. It's got all the links from today's guests' information on there. It'll have pictures and everything else. So mostly we want you to tune in again next week, same day, same time, for more good news from our good faith. Until then, I'm Peggy Normandin, but you can call me Catholic.
You've been listening to Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin, live from the Christ Cathedral campus in Garden Grove, California. Call Me Catholic is a co-production of EWTN Radio and Orange County Catholic Radio. Heard weekly on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.